This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 689 in the series. This session of the radio show shares the first of two public hearings held by the Franklin, Mass. Community Preservation Committee. We recorded this live via the Zoom conference bridge meeting held on January 4, 2021. Quick recap of the meeting, as mentioned, is the first of two public hearings. Residents made several suggestions for use of the CPA money to be made available later this year. The second hearing will be scheduled for January 18th. This is the first time the town of Franklin is doing this process, but it seems like it will be a great opportunity for residents to get into the discussion on prioritization of what money goes where for which items. Open space, that is, the Maple Hill deal, is now done. Recreation, more pickleball courts were the top item at this hearing. Preservation, the historical museum or red brick school previously were mentioned as possible. Or housing. Clearly, the needs for more housing and more affordable housing were previously were raised. Town Administrator Jamie Helen cautioned towards the end of the meeting that the projects will need to lay out to allow for town personnel to handle them. They all can't be done at once. Part of the prioritization will also be which project to be set, in which area of town, and for which need to ensure some equitable distribution. As an example, don't add more pickleball courts to King Street, as that would be the only location, spread them out around town. The recording of the meeting runs just about 25 minutes, so let's listen to the public hearing of Franklin's Community Preservation Committee held January 4, 2022.
Recording in progress.
This is just ideas hearing. I'll give it an overview real quickly, but there's no big decisions. No decisions today or next.
No. All right, being at 7 o'clock, I'm calling the meeting to order.
Correct. 19th of the Hawk.
Yep.
To be 8 there.
Jamie, this isn't working.
Phenomenal.
All right, HDMI.
I'm having trouble.
Wait a minute.
COVID. Do we just wait, Jamie?
Yeah.
I guess.
We're live.
It's live. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Are we live on your end, Alicia?
Yep.
There we go.
Okay. I think we're good. It's the Community Preservation Committee meeting of January 4th, 2022. Our first order of business is approval of minutes. Is there a motion?
A motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Is there any questions, comments, additions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None. It passes. Jamie, if you could give us a quick update of what we're doing here this evening.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and through you to the Community Preservation Committee. I know there's a couple members. I know Lisa Oxford is on Zoom, Rick Power is on Zoom, and I don't see Monique, just for the record, Doyle. So tonight is the first public hearing, which is required under the statute for the Community Preservation Act. Tonight, as well as the meeting on January 18th, 2 weeks from tonight. Both meetings, you're required under the statute to have one public hearing a year to give the public an opportunity to give comments, ideas, theories, questions, complaints, whatever folks want to chime in on. Folks have the ability at this hearing to add their input. Being that this is the first year, I think the committee did the right thing by having a couple of dates here in January to try to solicit some sort of input. As all of you know, you've gotten some background information on open space, recreation, historic preservation, affordable housing in the past, which hopefully has been educational about where some of the issues are in town. But tonight's an opportunity for other people to ask questions and ideas as well. A couple quick updates. I did have a really productive conversation last week with the Community Preservation Coalition Executive Director Stuart Saginaw, And he did confirm a couple things I wanted to make sure that are aptly on the public record. I don't think this contradicts anything, but I think it answers a couple questions that came up at the last meeting, which is, so essentially you're going to have these two public hearings. And then through the month of February and or March, whenever Alicia and I find time, we're going to put together a draft Community Preservation Act master plan. And that plan, like many other communities, is going to evolve over the years ahead. I already have an outline of that plan, but it'll be fairly basic in the sense that it'll have some history, you know, some preamble about the vote and Maple Hill purchase for sure. But also it will include many of the projects that are priorities for the municipality. It'll provide all of the input and ideas and questions that are brought out in the public hearings. And ultimately, we will be looking to approve a budget for FY23 that will also estimate in March, we will get an estimate from the state about what the matching dollars will be, okay? So they don't tell you, and it's pretty accurate. I mean, they have a fairly good idea. It was just announced in between our last meeting that the match this year for all communities with CPA was 39%. It's essentially 40 cents on the dollar that we put in, we get 40 cents back, which is pretty good. It's been the highest return on investment they've had, I believe, in over a decade. So that's, as he said to me, you got in at the right time, which is good news. So what we will try to do is do the best we can from a staff capacity perspective to take the input tonight, some of the other priorities the committee might want, and put together a budget for FY23. And we're going to do the best we can to try that, have that process go parallel along with the regular capital budget as well as the operating budget for the town through May. And that number is based off not only with the local contributions, but also the anticipated state match. And so a budget would look like 10%, 10%, 10%, 70 discretionary, and then the Community Preservation Committee at their leisure can appropriate recommendations on projects, whether it be like a red brick schoolhouse or the any ideas we hear tonight. And as a bystander of that, we will also have a budgeted reserve based on the FY22 current fiscal year calculations. So by the end of the year, the fiscal year on June 30th, there'll be X amount of dollars, probably 1.3 million or so, less the amount for Maple Hill and some, you know, administrative items. And so then that money will be transferred automatically into the future FY23 for the committee to use, save, plan out, you know, whatever we all decide. I wouldn't anticipate a full budget probably until after in April, just because we obviously have to wait to see what the estimated matching funds are going to be from the state before anybody can really make any decisions on next year, because that may affect you know, what priorities you fund this year. We're going to do the best we can to try to lay out we think from a staff level would be an apt strategy for the committee to follow in the next year and a half. And as the Mr. Saginaw stated, he said, Jamie, everybody goes through this in year one, year two. You know, once you get past year one and two, it just becomes a rolling train and everything just starts to fall into place and everybody becomes a lot more comfortable with how the process goes. So in case there was any questions that came up from the last meeting, I just wanted to give everybody that quick update. Mr. Chairman?
I have a quick question for you. The money that the state matches, do we need to allocate 10% of that, 10% of that, 10% of that?
Yes. Same?
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
So it's a public hearing.
So tonight, Mr. Chairman, is just a public hearing. Anybody who has any comments, questions, or anything can, or any ideas can raise their hand and stand up and offer their thoughts.
Does anyone on the committee have something they want to share, say, at this point? We'll go to the public. Does anyone on Zoom or in the audience have anything they would like to add? Yes, sir. Yes, state your name and your address, please.
Good evening. I'm Michael Ryan. I live at 120 Eric Drive. Been a Franklin resident for 23 and a half years. And love living in Franklin. I'd like to start off thanking the committee for your volunteering to do this, and also for the opportunity to have a public hearing and offer ideas. I'd also like to thank Public Rec Department, Franklin Rec, for providing outstanding pickleball opportunities. That's what I'm here to propose, additional pickleball opportunities. But till now, they've done a great job. It wasn't too long ago that they built two outstanding pickleball courts at King Street Memorial Field. And they have an ongoing, both indoor and outdoor, leagues and clinics. So it's excellent, and we just want to see more. So bottom line up front, I'm proposing three additional pickleball courts, lighted, and potentially at King Street Memorial Park. There's a nice space pretty much adjacent to where the two are located today. Why pickleball? It's super popular and it's growing. It's really easy to pick up. You know, anyone can play. You know, I tried my hand at tennis, and that just takes too much skill. I can't do it, but I was able to play pickleball in the first day. It's appropriate for kids through senior citizens. In fact, it's probably the most, maybe next to golf, it's the most popular senior citizen sport, and all adults of all age levels. It's social. You know, we've made a lot of friends in the last year and a half that we've been playing pickleball here in Franklin. It doesn't cost much. All you need is the court, at least one partner, a ball, and a paddle. According to a March 2021 BBC News article, the number of Americans who have started this sport increased by 21.3% just in 2020. And in 2021, the Sport and Fitness Association declared pickleball the fastest growing sport in America. Mr. Helen mentioned the Massachusetts Community Preservation Coalition. Well, on their website, there's an article that was published in May of 19 entitled "Massachusetts Has Pickleball Fever and CPA is the Cure." A couple of points out of there. In just the last few years, 16 communities have appropriated funds for pickleball courts, and that was in 2019. I reviewed the 2020 spreadsheet of projects and found two more. So 18 communities that I'm aware of, and that doesn't include Medway, which I think used CPA funds to build their four pickleball courts. So why do we need new courts? I just think we have outgrown them. There's two courts, but on any given day, if you go and try to play pickleball, you're apt to have to wait. So I think three more would be just right. Just as a data point, you know, my wife and I, we often choose to go to Millis and play pickleball there because they have seven courts at the high school, four dedicated and three hybrid tennis courts that you have pickleball lines in the middle. So we can always get a spot there. We can't always get a spot in Franklin. Let's see. Franklin Rec has, as I mentioned, has excellent leagues and clinics, but they often fill up pretty quickly, and there's a waiting list. So I think that shows that it's just becoming more and more popular in Franklin. And why am I asking for lighting? Because in the spring and the fall, it gets dark pretty early. Millis has lights. They keep them on till 10 o'clock at night. That you get a lot more bandwidth, a lot more people playing, a lot more capacity, I guess I should say, if you have lights. How much would it cost? I'm not sure. I know Franklin has a good idea because we built the two existing ones. There's one data point I found. Randolph built three pickleball courts in 2018. They were open in 2019 for $51,000. So I don't know if that's a good figure or not, but that's what they spent. I mentioned, so where should they go? I know that's up to the Franklin Rec where they want to put them. But it might be a good idea to put them in King Street Memorial Field's there's the baseball field, and then there's a grassy area just beyond center field. It's kind of catty-corner to where the current pickleball courts are, sort of just down from the community gardens and the butterfly garden. That's a nice big grassy spot. Could easily fit two or three pickleball courts. So in summary, I'm proposing three pickleball courts, three new outdoor lighted pickleball courts, and lighting for the existing pickleball courts. And why pickleball? Just because I think it's one of the most accessible sports anyone in Franklin can play. Thank you for your time and for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone at home that would like to speak on an idea of theirs? Bill?
I don't think he knows who he's not.
Bill, I think you're muted, Bill.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. My name is Bill Kelso, and I live at 4 Spruce Pond Road. And I would just like to support Michael's proposal for pickleball courts. It's just, like he said, it's the fastest growing sport in America.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else?
This is Alan Earls. I'd like to talk if anyone's, if there's an opening.
Go ahead, Alan.
Sure. I wasn't planning to speak about this, but since there's free airtime, I'll just jump in. For several years, I have advocated for the town to do more to steward the federal lands around Mine Brook, the swampy areas you can see on the side of 495 as you head north toward Bellingham, which is fantastic open space. The town does own land adjacent to it. And Jeffrey Roy was kind enough to provide a $20,000 grant a few years ago to have Beta Engineering study this. It's something where public access could be granted for almost no money. I don't have a good number, but I bet you for a lot less than $50,000, maybe even less than $10,000. Meaningful access to this land could be delivered. My suspicion is that this is not aligned with the town's goals because part of the open space in question touches the Maple Gate property on the other side of Mine Brook. And I think maybe the town wants to turn that into industrial taxable land and sees something open spacey as dangerous to that. But nonetheless, I'd just like to make sure this is on folks' radar because I think it's an opportunity to do something for the town for the very long term for very small money. There's roughly 500 acres of federal land there that's permanently protected. And for very small money, we could provide pathways in or maybe get some small additional parcels to make it better. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Roberta.
Hi, Roberta Trahan, 1 Green Street in Franklin. Thank you for having this open forum meeting. My question, I'm not sure, is appropriate because it has to do with the SNET. I realize the SNET receives funding from many sources, but my thought process is that the area on the Franklin side really needs some work in order for it to be safe for older people like myself. I walk the SNET regularly, but to be honest, I use the Bellingham side. And that's my comment for tonight. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else? Jamie, any suggestions? Yeah, Wayne.
Yeah, being a member of the Recreation Advisory Board, I certainly would support Michael's proposal. And I'll talk to Ryan Jetty. He's big on this type of thing as well. So pickleball is big, and certainly we can talk about it at our next Recreation Advisory Board meeting. And I certainly would support it.
Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think all the statements and comments that they made about the pickleball courts are certainly true, and it's been stuff that, as Wayne and Ryan both know, the town supported those courts quite a bit.
Yes.
You know, I would make mention that the cost to do those two courts was $200,000 in 2019, same time frame that Mr. Ryan had proposed in Randolph. And I will say the lighting of King Street in general is certainly something that's on our radar. I'm sure it is for Wayne and others on the rec board. I don't think that they'll be much cheaper than that post-pandemic. But I have no problem, and I fully support and think it's a great idea to try to put in more pickleball courts. I think the question will be more so not about whether we fund it, but really more about where. And like Wayne said, I would defer to Ryan, Jetty, you know, on those issues. The lighting, I don't know about the full cost. Ryan may have looked into it in the past in terms of King Street in general. But lighting, obviously, at that level can come in at a pretty pricey cost, just to let everybody know. We'd have to go out and have the DPW, which we're happy to do, have the DPW and Recreation work together on what that type of cost would be for the lighting. But I would estimate, I might be a little off, but I would estimate three courts would probably be about $300,000 is my guess.
So why is there such a disparity in the cost?
No clue. I have no idea.
Okay.
I just, you know, we put them out to bid. And Ryan wants to answer everybody's questions, though. Ryan.
Thanks, Jamie. Sorry I couldn't be there tonight. I will comment that I agree. Pickleball is an extremely fast-growing sport, especially in Franklin. Courts are being used quite a bit. We do have a reservation system at the Recreation Department where you can reserve the court. It does fill up extremely fast. When we initially planned this back in 2017, 2018 timeframe, pickleball was relatively unheard of around this area, and it's really picked up steam quick. Just to give you an idea of the cost, just for the concrete surface that we have there for basketball and pickleball, it was $102,000. The nets, the hardware and everything was $3,640 for the pickleball nets, and the fencing around the pickleballs in the divider in between the two courts was $33,000. So construction costs have gone up since that time. So it is costly. The only other thing I would mention is that, you know, when I put my capital plan together, I do have a list of other projects that were kind of ahead of pickleball. You know, we got the Beaver Pond project that we're still planning. Nation Street Tot Lot, Fletcher Field has a playground that's aging. A lot of our playgrounds are in that 16 to 18 year cycle right now. So pickleball is definitely something I would like to see us do in the future. I don't know if it's going to be next year or the year after, but certainly it is something that will need to be done. Regarding the lighting, I would think that the town would probably want to have a public hearing on lighting at King Street Memorial Park to give citizen input, especially the neighbors that surround that park. We have already been out on site and looked at the power that comes into the building with Mike D'Angelo and Musco, our Musco rep, which is right in Wrentham. So we are in the process of looking at that and getting cost on doing the soccer fields. And I think once we have that cost, I'll be coming back to Jamie and giving him more information on that, and then possibly setting up a public hearing with the neighbors. I don't disagree. We do need it. It's just it's a cost thing, and if we put it in capital, we take it from CPA. That's something that Jamie and I will probably talk offsite. Thanks,
Jamie. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I would just add in. Thank you, Ryan, for that great response. I just add in that reminder that when we try to put together a plan in the next year and a half, we're trying to look for 5 years roughly. And so even if a project, and one of the things you're going to hear from me tonight and continue to hear from me, tomorrow night at the council meeting, they'll be doing their goals. We have to also be conscientious that, and I've used Ryan as an example before, typically Ryan has probably done like a major capital project a year, approximately. And by major, I mean like the King Street pickleball courts, or another park or playground renovation like at Delcart. And so we also have to stave out the projects so that our staff can actually accomplish them. So even if we have the money, we're still going to have a staff capacity issue of actually dealing with implementation of all these projects. So one of the things you're going to see from me based on the comments tonight and all the other projects that are out there is, how do we lay out these projects in a judicious way where our staff can actually accomplish them? Because not every single project that everybody wants, not just what Michael or others are bringing up, not every project is going to be able to be done. And I know everybody knows this, but I have to say it. Not every project is going to get done in 6 months or a year. These things can take a long, long time, you know. But that's the idea behind the five-year plan, is try to lay out that foundation. And I think within that time frame, we should be able to try to figure out where the pickleball courts, where they fit. And again, I'll mention one last time is, and I think Ryan and I will have to discuss this, and maybe the Rec Advisory Board will have a discussion about this, is Ryan's done a great job over the years trying to diversify the opportunities in different areas of town. And if you really think about a lot of our parks and really big open spaces, there's a little bit of something for everybody in every quadrant or area of the town. And the same thing I get with King Street regarding community gardens is people from the north side of town say, hey, why can't we get one up here? We could just stick it over in Dacey over here somewhere else. So the location, I think, to pickleball, the pickleball courts is also going to be key, and whether or not we can actually try to appease some of the other areas of town where residents don't have to always drive all the way over to to King Street to play pickleball. So just a few extra thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else remotely that would like to speak? I guess we're good.
All set, Mr. Chairman.
Does anyone else want to add anything? We don't have to close the hearing, correct?
Probably. Okay. You might want to close this hearing. You can have another one in 2 weeks.
So we're going to have another one.
Yeah.
So we need a motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close the hearing?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, none. I guess our next meeting is 2 weeks from tonight. Same time.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
There we go.
We need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, none. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.